Today's shir is Masechta Yevamos, Daf Nun Ches, and we will begin on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Amar Rami Bachama. To quickly review some of the concepts that we learned in the previous shir. In the previous shir, we learned in the Mishnah a machlokes of Rameya versus Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. The situation that was discussed was when a woman had erusin with a person that she was not supposed to have a marriage midaraisa, amana l'kain gadol, grusha l'kain hedyot. Teaches us Rameya that since she's mishtameres labia psula labia saveira, this is a marriage that cannot be halachically consummated. Therefore, even though normally a bas kain is allowed to eat truma, or another pshat that we learned, even a Bas Yisrael, under certain circumstances may eat truma, this woman will not be allowed to eat truma. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon disagreed. That was the machloikis in the Mishnah. Then, on the top of Dav Nun Zayin Mabeis, we had a machloikis of Rav and Shmuel. They discussed the situation, as Rashi explains it, where there was no kedushin, but there was a chuppah between a man and a woman who are not supposed to get married. And a mona l'kain gadol, grusha l'kain hedyot, had such a chuppah. Rav said that a chuppah represents a close relationship, as the Gemara will soon say, korv l'biya, and therefore such a chuppah disqualifies this woman, if she's a bas kain, for example, from eating truma. And Shmuel disagreed. As we understand, and this is the way that we shine him introduce our sugya, Rav and Shmuel, when they had their machloikis, they weren't at all referring to the machloikis of our Mishnah. In other words, Rav, who holds yesh chuppah psulos, takes this position even according to Rabbi Elazar Shimon. He said that even though Rabbi Elazar Shimon may be makel, may be lenient by an erison which wasn't supposed to take place, they will agree that a chuppah will affect that she should not be allowed to eat truma. And Shmuel holds vice versa, that even Rameir, who was machmer, was stringent in our Mishnah by erison of an aveira, that because there was a kedushin, there was a kinyan, as we've discussed, the kedushin represents something very significant. On the other hand, when there was only a chuppah, and as Rashi explains, we're referring to a situation where there was a chuppah without kedushin, Shmuel will suggest that Rameyer will also be lenient and will not will say that this woman, specifically if she's a bas kohen, may continue eating truma. Says Rami Bachama, Amar Rami Bachama. Rami Bachama wants to suggest that these two machloikasin, the machloikas of Rav and Shmuel, and the machloikas of Rameya versus Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, are actually, perhaps, one machloikas. Amar Rami Bachama, yesh chuppah l'psulos, this concept of yesh chuppah l'psulos, the Rav and Shmuel disagree over, banu l'machloikas Rameya versus Rabbi Elazar of Shimon. Isn't that the same machloikas of Rameya versus Rabbi Elazar of Shimon in our Mishnah? Rameya, who in our Mishnah taught us kedushin possibly, that if there was an erusin, for example, between a kohen gadol and an almana, a kohen hedyot and a grusha, that Rameya said under those circumstances, even if this woman is a bas kohen without children, who normally may eat truma, Rameya says this woman, because she had this erusin, this illegal erusin, will not be allowed to eat truma. And he'll say the same goes for a chuppah. If there was a chuppah between such individuals, nami pasla, she will become disqualified from eating truma. And on the other hand, Rabbi Elazar of Shimon d'amr kedushin lo pasli, that if there was an erusin between individuals that are not supposed to get married, just since there was only erusin, it's only the nesuin that the Torah says disqualifies from eating truma, the bia that's not supposed to take place, as Rashi taught us in the Mishnah, disqualifies her from eating truma. So just like the kedushin doesn't disqualify her, chuppah nami lepasla, the chuppah will also not disqualify her from being able to eat truma, which is Shmuel's opinion. Says the Gemara, umemai, what forces you to say that these two machloikasin travel together? Dilma, ad kan lekam remeya hasam. Maybe remeyer in our Mishnah is machmer el bekedushin the kanala. The kedushin, which it affects a kinyan, has a halachic qualification, as we've learned in the previous year. Not midaraisa kedushin gives a woman who's married to an oris moresis to a kohen the right to eat truma. That's where Ramey will say that it was a, if there was a kedushin that was not supposed to take place, a manal kohen gadol, grushal kohen hedjet. That's where Ramey will say she should no longer be allowed to eat truma. Ava chuppa, the like kohenala. When we have a chuppa without a prior kedushin, which really doesn't have an independent validity, it doesn't really affect a transaction. Loi, there Ramey will not say that she becomes disqualified, and Ramey will not agree with Rav. Inami, or we could look at it the other way. At Kanli Kam Rabbi Elazar of Shimon Hasam, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar of Shimon said that if they had an erusin, which was not supposed to take place, it still will not disqualify the woman from eating truma. Ela b'gedushin d'lo krev l'biya, because all that took place in our Mishnah was only an erusin. It doesn't represent such a close relationship, and therefore this woman doesn't become disqualified from eating truma. Ava chuppa, once there's a chuppa, which maybe if we look at it simply as a transaction, the Gemara just taught us a moment ago, it doesn't necessarily affect such a significant transaction. But chuppah, especially as we explained in the previous year, where they come together under one canopy, the chassan takes the kala into his home, which it all represents krevel labia, that now they're going to be developing a very close relationship. And the bia, as we just explained a moment ago, is what makes this woman now disqualified from being able to eat truma ever. Because if a woman marries a kohen whom she's not supposed to, she becomes a chalola, permanently disqualified from eating truma. Perhaps we could suggest, says the Gemara now, that Rabbi Elazar of Shimon will agree that that type of relationship, karv labia, will be usur, she will become usati truma, like Rav says, hachanami the pasla. So the Gemara is suggesting, the Gemara is saying, Rami Bachom's contention that the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel and the machloikis of Ramey and Rabbi Elazar of Shimon travel together is not necessarily correct. Says the Gemara, Eli Yikal Meimer, if one wanted to suggest that the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel is represented in a machloikis tanoam, it's represented in the following machloikis. The pluk the hani tanoi. Machloikis of these tanoim in the following braisa. The tanya. The braisa says, nisu zu vizu. If the following women had nisun with a koyin, whether the women who are becoming nisuim, who are becoming completely married to the kohen, are ksherois, women who are allowed to have such a relationship, or psulois, women who are not supposed to, or these women came to a situation that they had chuppah, but they did not consummate, they did not abia, they did not complete the nisuin, their halach is, they're entitled to eat from the estate of the husband, for oichlus betruma, and they're entitled to eat truma. Tosfos explains oichlus mishloi means they eat from his estate while he's alive. For oichlus betruma means after he's not here. Now, stops the Gemara to understand this brisa. Nichnasu, the Gemara, if we learn the brisa, poshet pshat. There are two separate cases that the Bryce is referring to. One is a case of Nisu, where they actually consummated the marriage, and one is a case of nichnasu l'chuppah v'loy nivlu. And the Brice is telling us that in either of those situations, no matter who the wife is, even if the wife is a woman who's psula, who's not supposed to be married to this kohen, they can eat truma. Ask the Gemara, Mechlau, the Nisu Nisu Mamish, is that the correct way of interpreting the Braisa? Can we suggest that the Braisa is referring to a situation where there was Nisuin between a kohen and a woman who he's not supposed to marry, and still say that that woman may eat truma? We know, as we've said, that once a woman who's not supposed to marry a kohen has bia, has nesuin with a kohen, she becomes a chalala and permanently disqualified from eating truma. So that can't be shot in the braisa. What is the braisa? What is the way of interpreting the braisa correctly? That there is not really two cases being taught in this braisa. Rather, nichnasu l'chuppah v'loy nivlu is a definition of nisu. Not that they really had bia. Not that they really consummated the marriage. What does nisu mean? El alav? It means kegon shenichnasu l'chuppah v'loy nivlu. And what is the braisa teaching us? That even though there was a chuppah between a kohen and a woman whom he's not supposed to marry, what does the braisa still teach us? K'toni oichlus mishaloi v'oichlus petruma, that she eats truma. So here we clearly see Shmuel's position. Shmuel taught us that ain't chuppah l'psulois, that even though there was a chuppah that took place between a kohen and a woman whom he's not supposed to marry, that doesn't disqualify her from eating truma. So clearly, at least at this point, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah agrees with Shmuel's position. The one issue that the Rishonim discuss is that why is this woman, according to this Tana, why and when is this woman entitled to truma? So firstly, the Rishonim point out that it must be that the case that we're describing, that we just described, that it was a chuppah, there must have also been an erisin, because a woman who did not have erisin to a kohen is not entitled to eating truma. So either we'll have to explain, as we've been explaining, that's referring to a bas kohen who's eating truma not because of her husband, but rather because of her father, or we'll have to explain that since she had erisin followed by a chuppah, she therefore now is entitled to eat truma. But now the question comes up, why? So some Rishonim suggest, as we said in the previous year, this shita of the Tanakhama represents the Mishnah Rishonah, that a woman who had erisin and then the date of the nesuin came is allowed to eat truma, even though a normal erusa is not allowed to eat truma because of a gzeira d'rabbanan. Once there's chuppah, it's like there was the date of the wedding came, that we said the Mishnah Rishonah says she's allowed to eat truma. Another explanation that I saw in the Rishonah is that once we had, what was the reason why Chazal said that an arusa is not allowed to eat truma? So we quoted the Gemara Masechta Ksubis, because we're concerned that he may find in her a blemish. She may still go back to her parents' home, who are not Kohanim, and give her family members truma food. But here we already are dealing with a situation that she had chuppah. Once there was a chuppah, he investigated that she has no blemishes. Once there's a chuppah, she's not going back to her parents' home, and therefore she's entitled to eat truma. And therefore, unless she had nesuin, which would disqualify her from eating truma if she's posel, if she's not allowed to marry a kohen, in the absence of that, tells us the Tanakhama, this woman, nichnasa l'chuppah, even though she's a psula with a pay, she disqualified Makayan, may eat truma. Continues the Gemara in quoting the Braisa. Rabbi Shmuel ben Oishar Rabbi Yochanan bebroik Oimer, kol shebi asa machilasa. Wherever we have a situation that if she had beer with a kohen, she would be allowed to eat truma, chuppah machilasa. Then when she has a chuppah with a kohen, she's also allowed to eat truma. And wherever ain chuppah machilasa, but where a chuppah does not entitle to eat truma, where if she had consummated a marriage, if she had nesun with a kohen, she would not be allowed to eat truma. There ain chuppah machilasai, then the chuppah does not allow it to eat truma either. So at first glance, Rav Shmuel is saying that the chuppah with a woman that a kohen is not supposed to marry disqualifies her from eating truma, which is actually Rav's position. Yesh chuppah l'psulos. If a chuppah took place between a kohen and a woman whom he's not supposed to marry, that woman will no longer be allowed to eat truma. So now the Gemara is suggesting that the machloikis of the Tanakama and Shmuel is actually machloikis of Rav and Shmuel, with the Tanakama agreeing to Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel agreeing to Rav. Ask the Gemara, Mamai, what forces you to say that Rabbi Shmuel is agreeing with Rav? You know why Rabbi Shmuel holds that this woman becomes disqualified from eating truma? Not because of the chuppah. It's because of the kedushin that preceded the chuppah. As we explained, this brisa must be referring to a woman who had an erusin. Because if she didn't have erusin, then she's certainly not a candidate for eating truma. So she must have had erusin. If she had erusin, maybe Rabbi Shmuel is following the position of Ramei and Amishnah, that whenever there's an erusin between a man, between a kohen and a woman whom he's not supposed to marry, since she's mishtameris, labia psula, lavera psula, labia savera, she will not be allowed to eat truma. Damar, Ramei says kedushin, as soon as there's such a kedushin, lo yachla. So we don't have a proof that Rabbi Shmuel necessarily agrees with Rav. We have maybe Rabbi Shmuel agrees with Rav Meir. Says the Gemara, if that's Rabbi Shmuel's position, then why does he describe it by saying kol she'ein bi'asa machilasai, ein chuppah machilasai, connecting bia to chuppah? It's not the chuppah that's the factor here we're saying. It's the kedushin, the kesef, the erusin. That's the factor. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel should have said. He should have said, "Kol she'ein bi'asoi machilasoi, ein kaspa machilasoi mibayli." He should have expressed that the chuppah, that the bia and the kedushin are the same. And if the bia won't allow her, or actually disallow her, for meeting truma, so too will such a kedushin. Why did he couch it in terms of chuppah? If it's not the chuppah that's the factor, if it's the erusin, as Rameyer says, the kedushin that's the factor, answers the Gemara, that's not a question. Because Dilma Aidi, the Omer Tanakama chuppah, the Tanakama was referring to chuppah. Because the Tanakama is clearly articulating the position of Shmuel. That even though there was a chuppah between a kohen and a woman whom he's not supposed to marry, that chuppah doesn't disqualify her till there is a bia, until there is nesuin. So since the Tanakama had to speak in terms of bia, of chuppah, that's why Amiyu, so Rabbi Shmuel also spoke in terms of chuppah. But it's not the chuppah that disqualifies her, as Rav said. It's actually the kedushin that disqualifies her, as Rameyah said. So we understand this machlokes this way, point out the Rishonim. Rav Shmuel has a Tana that can clearly concurs with his position, the Tanakama of this Braisa. But Rav has no Tana that he could hang his hat on. He has no Tana that concurs with him. Because Rav Shmuel, who we thought might be such a Tana, we've now explained doesn't necessarily concur with Rav. He's espousing actually Reb Meir's position. Therefore, say the Rishonim, the Gemara brings now Rav Amram, who will try to find a Tana that agrees with Rav. Amram Meir, Hai Mos Amal Rav Sheshes, the following halacha was told to us by Rav Sheshes, and he enlightened our eyes. He brought a raya from a Mishnah, the Yesh Chupal Psulos, which will corroborate Rav's position. The Mishnah is a Mishnah Masechta Saita. And to quickly review the halacha of a Saita and perhaps add some important details that will be very relevant to our shir, we say the following. The halacha is that if a man suspects his wife of adultery, he first does kinui. He warns her not to seclude herself, not to come in private with that man. If she then does have stira, she is secluded with the man. So now he becomes prohibited from having relations with this wife. What he needs to do is take her to the Beis HaMikdash, give her to drink the Mei HaMarim, which is a water that they took water from the Kiya, and they took the Parshas Saita from the Torah and Parshas Nasai, wrote it on a cloth on a piece of parchment, which they dissolved in that water, and they gave her to drink, and that water proves her innocence or her guilt. The halacha is, however, that when do the Mei HaMa'orim, or when are they effective? Bizman she'ish menukim avon. Only if the husband also is innocent. But if the husband did averus, and as the Rishonim explained, the Gemara says in Masechta Saita, it's only averus that applied to erva that he had improper relationships. If the person did averus, but they don't apply to improper relationships, the person talked by davening, that's not what it means by ish menukim avon. Ush menukim avon means that he's pure. He didn't do any averus of improper relationships. Then the water will work if she's guilty to cause her to ultimately die. If she's not pure, if he's not innocent, it won't work on her. Also, there's a halacha that we're going to learn in a moment, a very important halacha. The only time the water works on her is if the husband had relations with the wife prior to the adulterer. But if the noyif, the adulterer, had relations with this woman before the husband ever had relations with her, then the mayhem marm don't work. So the Mishnah describes that when the woman is brought to the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen makes a swear that she did not stray from her husband. And she says, Amen v'Amen. And the Mishnah says, what does she mean? What is she supposed to mean when she says, Amen? Amen shloshes tisi, that I did not stray. Arusa, when I was an Arusa, when I was in the Suah, when I was a Shmeres Yavam, and when I was a Knusa. So as the Rishonim explain, and will become very clear as we learn our shir, there are two ways of understanding this Shvuah. One way of understanding the Shvuah is that the woman is actually a Nesua. And when she makes a Shvuah, she refers to her entire history and saying, throughout my history, I never entered an improper relationship. But that's not the way the Gemara at this point understands that Shvuah. The way the Gemara understands the Shvuah at this point is, the Gemara is saying that every one of these women that we just quoted, that we just spoke about, can become a Saita. A Nesua can become a Saita. That's the classical case of Saita. But an Arusa, a Shemeres Yavam, can also, in their state of Erisin, in their state of Shemeres Yavam, become Saitas. And what the Gemara is going to attempt to do is analyze, how is that possible? Hai Arusa Hai Chidami. One is the case that the Mishnah refers to, that a woman who's only an Arusa can become a Shemeres Yavam. Ilema, if you'll suggest, the Kanila Sherusa, a husband, a man, made Erisin in a woman, and then had suspicion on her, and he warned her not to seclude herself with a certain man, and then she did seclude herself with that man, and now he's bringing her to the Beis HaMikdash, the Kamashkalak Sherusa, to give it a Meham Ma'arim to drink, while she's only in the status of an Arusa. Ask the Gemara, Arusa Bas Mishtayihi is a woman who is not more than Arusa, a candidate for drinking the Meham Ma'arim. V'tanan, the Mishnah says, in Masechta Saita, Arusa V'Shemeres Yavam, that if the woman is no more than a Arusa, or no more than a Shemeres Yavam, a woman that's waiting Yibum, Loi Shoises, and she went through Kini Vestira, she's not a candidate to drink the Meham Arim, V'Loi Naitlis Ksuba, but she doesn't get a Ksuba either, because she brought upon herself such a situation by having Stira with the man that she wasn't supposed to. It's their own behavior that caused them to become forbidden to the husband or to the Yavam, and therefore Halach is they just get divorced and they don't drink the Meham Ma'arim. The Yavama would have to go through a Chalitza anyway, but she doesn't have the Yavam doesn't have to do Yibam with her. Rashi points out that it's clear that this Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. The Rabbi Kiva we learned in our Masechta holds that a Chai V'Lavin Kedushin are not Typhus. Since it compares, the Mishnah compares a Shemeres Yavam to an Eishes Ish, a Shemeres Yavam prohibition to have relations with another man is only a Chai V'Lavin. It's Rabbi Kiva that compares a Chai V'Lavin to a Eishes Ish. So the case of our Mishnah, the Mishnah Masechta Saita, cannot be where she was just an Arusa, Kinu Vestira. What must be the case? The Kanilak Shirusa. He warned her while she was Arusa not to seclude herself with a certain man. Vestatra. And then she did seclude herself with that man. Then they had Nesuin. They consummated the marriage. They had Bia. The Kamashkala Kishin Nesua. And now he's bringing her to the Beis HaMikdash to drink the Meham Ma'arim. Ask the Gemara, under those circumstances, Mibot Galemaya, will the water be effective? V'tanya, V'nika Ish Mi'avoin, when was the Meham Ma'arim effective? Bizman Sheish Menukim Oven, when the husband is also free of sin. That's when Hamayim Boitkinis Ishtoy, will the water test the wife. However, Ain't Ish Menukim Oven, if he's not innocent, Ain't Hamayim Boitkinis Ishtoy, the water will not be effective. And here he's not innocent. Why is he not innocent? Let's figure it out. Because he had relations with her after she had Kini Vestira. And as we said, a woman, once she becomes a Saita, once she underwent Kini Vestira, becomes prohibited to her husband until her status is clarified. So he consummated his marriage. He consummated his relationship with her after the Kini Vestira. So he did an Aveira. So that would automatically not disqualify her from drinking Mayim Amarim. She'll not be any longer a candidate for the Mayim Amarim. As Tysus, perhaps what happened here was that when he consummated the marriage, when he did be with her, he didn't know at that time that she had Stira. So he didn't do anything wrong. Says Tysus, of course, if he wasn't aware that she had Stira, and therefore that she secluded herself with a man, and therefore he went and did be with her without, because he didn't think there was anything wrong here. He didn't do anything wrong. He's a shagik. He didn't know any better. But now when he's bringing her to the Beis HaMikdash, he does know the facts, And he does know that he wasn't supposed to have beer with her after she had stira. So now why is he bringing her to the Beis HaMikdash if he knows that he did a beer that he wasn't supposed to do, even though he did it innocently? So that can't be the case. What is the case, says the Gemara? At the Konalak Shirusa, he did kinui with her when she was in Arusa. Vistatra, and she then did, and then she had stira, and then he didn't have beer, because as we just said a moment ago, if they had beer, he would have done an Aveira, and the Meis Saita would not work on her. But what happened here was, Nichnas al Chuppah v'lo Nivela, she had Chuppah. And what do we see from our Mishnah? That the Chuppah, v'shmamino, yesh Chuppah lipsulis. That the Chuppah, like Rav taught us, is so powerful that the Chuppah creates a situation as if she is his Nesua. Because Chuppah is a very strong bond between the Chassan and Kala, between the husband and wife. So we have a proof of the power of Chuppah, which is Rav's position. Amar Rava, ask Rava, v'tizbura d'ha mitaretz tehi, have we been able to identify and explain that this Mishnah, and therefore be able to say that this Mishnah is a correct Mishnah? V'kios Rav acha b'chinen ha-medroima, osa v'aisemes nisa b'yodei, the Pasuk says, m'baladei ishech. When will the Meham Amorim work? Only Misha Kodma Shechivas Baal Laboyim. If the husband had relations with the wife prior to the adulterer having relations with her. However, Misha Kodma Shechivas Baal Laboyim. So in the case that we just explained, described, where she became his Arusa, then she had Kini Vestira, that means she had relationship with the Baal. And then he did Chuppah, and the husband never had relations with his wife. So it's certainly a situation where the adulterer had relations with the woman before the husband. Such a situation is a situation where the Meis Saita won't work. Says the Gemara, Amar Rami Bechama, Mishkachas Lo, Kegon Sheba Ala Arusa Beis Avia. The way to explain it is that the husband, after she became his Arusa, had relations with the wife. But like Rashi explains, they were not with the intention of getting married. They were l'shem znus. So we have everything come together. We have a situation where kadma shchivas baal laboil, because the husband had relations with his arusa as while they were still in the status of erusin. Then he did kini v'stira. Then he did chuppah, and therefore she. And he did not do beer, because if he did beer, it would be a beer that he wasn't supposed to do after she had stira with the adulterer. And we have all the needs and all the halakas accomplished, and that's what the Mishnah means, that an arusa sometimes drinks the mayim marin. Ask the Gemara, the Kavasar Gabi Shemeres Yavam. We go back to try to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Masechta Saita said that a woman who's a Shemeres Yavam also could be a candidate for drinking Mayim Hamarim. How are we going to explain that case? It must be Shabala Yavam Pabes Chameha, that the Yavam had relations with this woman while she was a Shemeres Yavam, and the relations were not with the intent of making her his Yavama. They were a weak bia, concept that we discussed earlier in the week, and therefore she is not his wife, and the exact same situation comes into play. Let's describe it. The Yavam had relationship with the Yavama, not l'shem kedushin. Then she had kini v'stira, and then he brings her, and then a chuppah, and he brings her to the Beis HaMikdash, and she could drink the Mayim Ha'orim. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that? Meres Yavam Karisus Lei? How could you say that if he had relations with her, albeit that they were weak relationship, Ishtamal Yehi, as soon as a Yavam has a relationship with his Yavama, she's considered his wife. Dama Rav Konalakol, once they have a relationship, Rav's position that we discussed earlier in this parak, earlier in the week, was that as soon as a husband has, a Yavama has a relationship with the Yavama, they become full-fledged man and wife. So the Rishonim and the Achronim focus on trying to find perhaps another situation where a Shemeres Yavam, they had relations, but it will not consider, even according to Rav, a wife. Taisa suggests that we learned that if a man fell off the roof and then had relations with the Yavama, everybody agrees that that's not considered relations. So maybe that's the situation where he had, where the Yavam had prior relations with the Yavama. So Taisa says that that is not considered, as we learned, having relations at all. When he just fell on her after falling off the roof, as we learned earlier, that's not considered having relations at all. In the same vein, the Karen Oira suggests maybe he had relations with her with an Aver Mace when he wasn't erect. And again, the Karen Oira says, as we learned, that's not considered relations at all. Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, maybe he had relations with her with the specific intent that he doesn't want to make her a wife. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, and we've quoted this Rabbi Kiva Eger, that previously, that if there was a full-fledged relation, even if he intended that he doesn't want to make her wife with these relations, the halacha would be that according to Rav, she still becomes his Yavama. Rabbi Kiva Eger asks another question, that perhaps the relations between the Yavam and the Yavama took place without witnesses, and that's why she doesn't become his Yavama, his wife. And in fact, based on this question, which is really already the question of the Rashba, the Gra says, we see from here that a Yavam makes a Yavama his wife, even without Edus. Rabbi Kiva Eger disagrees, and he says that Edus, it's a Rosh, that Edus is required, but here, since we want to make her into a Saita, every aspect, every step of the way will require Edus, and therefore we can't be suggesting that the situation here is that the Yavam had relations with the Yavama without Edus. So if so, that they had relations, according to Rav's position, they're already husband and wife. So it's not a situation that one is bringing his Shomeres Yavam for Mayhem Amorim. Says the Amorim, maybe the Mishnah is going according to Shmuel. Dama Lekona al Dvar Mamur Meparsha. That Shmuel says that a weak bia does not affect a full-fledged yibam. Says the Gemara, Midu hutam el Rav. Whose position are we trying to corroborate? We're trying to corroborate the position of Rav, the yesh chupel psulish. And Rav is the mandam that says kana lakol, that they become full-fledged husband and wife. Says the Gemara, hochemai skinen. The way to interpret this Mishnah is kigoyin the avba mamer. The Yavam did mamer in the Yavama. And it's going according to Beishame's position, Damri Maimer Koine Kinyagomer. The Maimer is affected between the Yavam and Yavama. So the way that we shine and explain this Gemara is as follows. First of all, they say that Beishamai, as we just said, holds that Maimer is effective. What does Maimer accomplish? Maimer makes them have the status of Erison. So not everything fits in perfectly. The Yavam did Maimer in the Yavama. Once he did Maimer, she loses the status of a Shemeres Yavam. She becomes an Arusa. Once she becomes an Arusa, we'll explain this part of the Mishnah, like we explained the previous line, the previous word of the Mishnah, of an Arusa, that she became an Arusa. He had relations with her, L'shem Znus. So he, first the husband had relations, then Kini Vestira, and then Chuppa. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the way we're explaining, that there was a Maimer, which turns her, which transfers her from a Shemeres Yovam to an Arusa. Ask the Gemara, so the Mishnah already mentioned Hain Arusa, the Mishnah already mentioned the case of Arusa. Why is the Mishnah repeating itself? Ask the Gemara, Ula Tameich, is that a question on this Mishnah? We find that this Mishnah is very repetitive, because the Mishnah speaks about a Nesua and a Knusa. Is it on a Nesua and a Knusa, Lav Chad Melsehi, aren't they one and the same? El Nesua the day, the Knusa the Chavri. Nesua means the woman that he married, and Knusa means a woman that he married because she was his Yavama. And it's called a Knusa because Nesua means a woman that he chose to marry. A Nesua, a Knusa means, as we've been saying this concept many times, Isha Hikdin Lamin Shemayim. The Meshemayim, they said this should be his wife. Hachinami, even though, as we just explained, Arusa and Shemeres Yavam are actually really very much the same, the Mishnah repeats itself. Arusa the day, Vishemeres Yavam, the Chavre, even though technically they work in a very similar manner. Rapapa has a different way of explaining this Mishnah. He says, "Hi Tanahu, the Tana of this Mishnah is the Tana. The Emakana Lo Larusa Lakosa Sherusa. We don't give an Arusa to drink. However, Ava Makana Isolashkosa Kshinasua. We do give an Asua to drink." And as the Rishonim explained, what Rapapa is saying, that all of the two of the conditions that we spoke about earlier, that we said have to take place, that the man has to be menukah mi'oven, and that his bia, the bia of the husband, has to precede the bia of the boil, Rapapa does not require. And therefore we can have a very simple situation. She became his arusa, then he did kini v'stira, and then he did bia in her. So even though his bia came after the bia of the adulterer, and even though he's not totally innocent, because he shouldn't have done bia if she already was a saita, still the meha ma'orim will work. That's how Rav Papa explains the Mishnah. Rav Nachman Yitzchak has an entirely different explanation in the Mishnah. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, he explains the Mishnah Ayde Gilgal. He says that of course we cannot find simply a way that a woman is a Shemeres Yavam or a woman who's an Arusa to be a candidate for drinking the Mayim HaMa'arim. Rather, he explains that the case that the Mishnah refers to is a Nesua, where there was a husband and wife, they're fully married, and after they're fully married, he does Kinui V'stira, and after he does the Kinui V'stira, he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash and to drink the Mayim HaMa'arim. But when the Meha Ma'arim are given to her, the Shvu is made, the Shvu reflects on her whole life. And now she said, we ask her, in the various stages of your life, when you were in Arusa, when you were Shemeres Yavam, did you act properly or not? So maybe these situations themselves might not have caused her to be able to drink the Meha Ma'arim, but now when she is drinking the Meha Ma'arim for the right reasons, they affect her for all stages of her life. However, the Ar Sameach says a very big chiddush. The Ar Sameach says that even though the Mayim Arim affect her, it could be Megalga, we could talk about all the various stages of her life, says the Ar Sameach, that's only if he chooses to use the Mayim Arim in that fashion. He says the Gilgal is optional, and the husband can choose to employ the concept of Gilgal, or he could have choose not to. And actually, it's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam says that Gilgal also works for the future. That when he gives her the Mayim Arim, he says, for your whole life, going into the future, if you'll ever do anything wrong, in terms of improper bia, the Mayim Arim that are in your system will affect you. Say again, the Achroinim. That's something he could choose to employ or choose not to employ. And there's a Gvalda Garaya, because the Gemara Masech, the Saita, says that a woman can become a Saita more than once in her life. But if we're saying now that once she drinks the Mei Saita, the Shvua, the water that are in her system, effective for the rest of her life, so why should she be able to drink? How could there ever be a circumstance that she'll drink a second time? But according to our Sumeach's Vort, that our Sumeach says that it's optional if she wants Gilgul or not, it's very understandable. He gave it to drink without using the option of Gilgul, and therefore it'll affect her. It won't necessarily affect her for the rest of her life, and she can. And if he accuses her again, she'll have to drink the Meis Soita again. Says the Gemara, Shalach Rav Chinen HaMishmeid Rav Yoichan, Ha'isamam B'Yavimtai. If one does Maimer in his Yavama, and as we've been learning, if the brother who does Maimer, what that accomplishes is that he's the brother that should do Yibam to the exclusion of all the other brothers. V'yesh le'ach, and he has another brother. Afilu hu koyin v'hi kohenes, if the Yavam is a koyin, and even if she's a kohenes, a daughter of a koyin, paslum in a truma, she may not eat truma now. Laman, ask the Gemara, according to whose opinion did Rav Chinana say, Rav Yochanan say this halacha, ilem remeyo, because here we have a situation where this woman could possibly has a zika to a bia psula, because only the brother who did maimer is the brother that's supposed to marry her. And if the other brother, who she has a zika to still, does bia with her, it's a bia psula. And Ramei is the man to Omer of our Mishnah that says that somebody who is oimed for bia psula is supposed to disqualifies the woman from eating truma. Ask the Gemara. You want to say it's going according to Ramei? Amadam Ramei. When did Ramei say that if somebody is awaiting a bia psula, she becomes disqualified from eating truma? Mishta Amadam Ramei. Mishta Meres Labia Psula Layachla Medaraisa. When the Isser bia will be an Isser bia deraisa, like a kohen to gadol to a mona, a kohen to kedya to grusha. The Rabbanan here, the Isser for all the other brothers to do yibum with her is only the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said that if one brother did maimer, the other brother should not live with her, should not marry her. The Rabbanan miomer, did some, the Ramei say his position when the bia that can happen is only an Isser Rabbanan? Vel Rabbi Elazar of Shimon. Do you want to say it's going according to Rabbi Elazar of Shimon? Certainly not. Hashta, if in the case of our Mishnah, which she's Mishnah Meres Labia Psula Deraisa, among the Kohen Gadol, still they hold Achla, she could eat Truma. The Rabbanon, when she's only possibly going to have a Bia Psula, the Rabbanon, Miboye, will they say that she becomes disqualified? El Ki Asa Ravin Amar, Asa Mama Bia Vimtai, if one brother did Maimer with the brother, with the Yavama, even though there are other brothers, the Rehakol Achla, she could continue eating truma if she's a bas kohen. And here we see that zika alone will not give her the opportunity to truma if she's a zukuk to kohen. It's only because she's a bas kohen. However, let's say yesh lo ach kolol. If there's a brother who's a kolol, and if she had relations with this brother, she has zika to this brother, and that would disqualify. Here, divrakol ena echelis. Everybody will agree that she may not eat truma, because she's zakuka, she's imbanned to a bia psula. Lo nechleka, and as the Rishonim pointed, even Rav Elazar of Shimon, who are mekel in our Mishnah, will agree here that since there's a zika, which is a band, which is a strong band, she becomes disqualified. Lo nechleka el shenosim le get. The question is, where a brother gave her a get, and as we learned, if a brother gives her a get, she now Midrabanan is no longer candidate for bia. She's supposed to, for yibim, she's supposed to have chalitza. Rav Yochanan Amar Chelis. Rav Yochanan says she may continue eat truma if she's a bas koyin. Mishlokish Amar Enachel, she may not eat. And the Gemara explains. Rav Yochanan Amar Chelis. Rav Yochanan says she can continue eating truma. I feel Ramei do Amar Enachelis, because even Ramei who says that a woman who's supposed to who's awaiting a bia psula doesn't eat. Hanimil Mishtameris Labia Psula Daraisa, where there's an Issa Daraisa. Avod Rabbanan, where she's merely waiting for where she's waiting for a Bia, which is also Midrabanan, because she had a get from one of the brothers. So Midrabanan, she's not supposed to have Bia. So that Zika is also, but it's only a Zika, it's only the Bia that she's waiting for is only Issa Rabbanan. It doesn't disqualify her. Rishlakish Amma Enachel, so Rishlakish says she doesn't eat. Even according to Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, Darmi Achelis, that normally someone waiting for Bia Psula does eat, Hanimila Diyesh Lelach B'Makamacher. That's when the relationship was formed through a marriage. Erisin, Nesuin. So Erisin and Nesuin are what cause normally a woman to be able to eat Truma. Aval Hocha, what happened here was, the relationship was a relationship that was formed through a get. Kivan Dayan Lo Lahacha B'makam Acher. A get usually distances the Kohen from his wife. A get usually doesn't give it an opportunity to eat Truma. Loi. So that's why here, even Rabbi Lazar and Shimon will agree she's not allowed to eat Truma because she experienced a get. Ask the Gemara, V'chi Teima, I'll give you a case where a get does give a woman the opportunity to eat Truma. Let's say there's a woman who's married to a Yisrael, a Bas Kohen who's married to a Yisrael. Her get is what's going to give her the opportunity to eat Truma, because when she gets divorced, she goes back to her parents' house. So what are we suggesting? That a get can never be the cause to be allowed to eat Truma. I just came up with a case that a get is the cause to eat Truma. Says the Gemara, that's not the same. Chazeres, when there's a get, it's not pshat that the get caused the teichuma. Paskimene, she her relationship with her husband terminated for kroivel abnei nasha, and she goes back to her father's home. Aval ha, the yavam who received the get from her yavam, since midaraisa that get is not effective because she didn't have yet chalitza, agidabe she's still attached to him, and she doesn't have a marriage that's attaching her to these brothers. There's only a get. A get cannot cause a woman to eat Truma. It could only prevent her from eating Truma. And that's why Rish Lakish said that even Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon will agree that she doesn't eat under these circumstances Truma.